final episode.
The fourth and final episode.
It's gone by so quickly.
I know.
Can't believe it.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. This is our fourth and final episode of Broadway Reimagined, our tiny snorkel into this Tony season's Broadway musicals and plays. Today, we're talking about Oedipus. This is one that I'm going to admit I really didn't know a lot about, but luckily our good friend James here does know a lot about it.
This is one that I'm a bit familiar with. I was tasked to read this one in high school and again in college for Cape Fear Community College, so I'm a bit familiar with it. This is for Oedipus, which I'll say from the start is definitely a bit different from our previous three. It's definitely heavier. It's definitely more layered. The writing is just, I'd say it's phenomenal, which is why it stood the test of time. And it's another reason that makes it different from the others. It's its age. This is based on Sophocles' tragedy of the same name called Oedipus Rex, which is Latin, translates for Oedipus the King. It was written around the year 420 BCE and was performed roughly between 430 and 426 BCE. Just wrap your mind around that for a second. That's nearly, 2,500 years it's been around. That's a long time. And I mean, a lot of history between now and then has been lost. But the fact that this particular work has been around that long just
works
all to its
advantage.
Isn't
Sophocles like a Greek guy?
Greek tragedy.
One of them Greek thinkers?
Yeah, this was around the time in Greece where writing and that kind of philosophical thinking was really on the rise. And this particular play, Oedipus, marked the summit of classical Greek dramas of its time. So to get into the story, I'm going to do a little bit of a deeper dive than our previous episodes, just for the sake that you can wrap your head around what the story really brings to the table. The story focuses around, of course, Oedipus. He is the ruler of Thebes, sort of a city-state in Greece, and he is beloved by his people. Years before, however, as a native orphan to the distant city of Corinth, he arrived as a stranger to Thebes after the murder of King Laius and saved the people from an event referred to as the Sphinx, which is sort of like a plague, and he is hailed for it while marrying the widow of the fallen king known as Jocasta.
The Sphinx, is that like the cat thing in Egypt? Like, is that what the Sphinx is?
That's what I thought of when I first heard it. It wasn't really described well to me. It was more like a riddle, that Oedipus had to solve in order to get it away from the city, but it's also been described as sort of a bit of a plague. Now, in the present day, however, the area is hit with another plague, one that Oedipus can't so easily solve. He sends his brother to consult an oracle to see what he can do to end the sickness. His brother is told, which of course is relayed to Oedipus, that the plague will end only when the killer of the previous king, Laius, is discovered, brought to justice, and punished.
An oracle, so like what, he went to a shrink?
Yeah, he decided to confront the oracle himself because he didn't quite believe what his brother was telling him. After sort of provoking the oracle, because the oracle was a bit standoffish at first, he has revealed this chilling prophecy to Oedipus. Oedipus himself is accused as the killer of Laius, the previous king, and as such a killer is, here's the plot twist, married to his mother and is both father and brother to his own children.
Wait, hold on. Oedipus
is accused of killing the previous king, Laius.
Okay.
And that this killer, whoever the killer is, which Oracle is accusing Oedipus of being, is married to his own mother and is both father and brother to his own children.
So it thinks that Jocasta is his mother?
Yeah. So yeah, he's accused of this, and Oedipus, of course, fiercely denies these allegations, but despite this, it reminds him of a disturbing and similar prophecy he was told as a youth back in his days in Corinth, that he would indeed murder his father and wed his mother. So he has heard this kind of prophecy before. So he goes on to share this information with his wife, Jocasta, and she reveals a prophecy of her own that she heard when she was still married with Laius, that her and Laius would be murdered by his own son. But she goes on to say that Laius was just murdered by a band of Thebes outside the city of Thebes. She thought that she was just, sort of debunking such fears of Oedipus and, you know, sort of like relieving him, saying, you know, that's not true, that's not going to happen, providing this evidence. It turned out she only fueled them, because Oedipus himself, he recalled a confrontation with Thebes in the exact same manner. While he was traveling to Thebes as a youth after fleeing from Corinth to run from the prophecy he heard as a child, he thought he spent his whole life escaping his tragic fate, but in truth, he had ran directly towards that fate. The thief that he murdered outside the city when he was a youth turned out to be his own father and King Laius himself.
Oh my God.
And the widow he went on to marry and have children with.
Was his mother.
His own.
Ew,
mother.
That's gross. How did Oedipus not know? Was he, like, abandoned as a child?
That's actually what we're getting to next. Good segue.
Thank you.
Laius and Jocasta had sent baby Oedipus to Corinth, basically exiled him from Thebes, and they actually wanted him killed by a shepherd to avoid the fate of Laius and Jocasta being murdered by his own son. But in essence, they made the same mistake as their son, orchestrating this tragic prophecy as the shepherd took pity on the baby and refused to carry out the deed of killing the child. And just to sum up the aftermath after this is revealed, Oedipus basically says, I can now see the truth with my own eyes. And once Jocasta hears the news as well, she goes back into the palace and hangs herself. Oedipus takes the pins.
That she used to, like, hang herself?
Yeah, that she used to hang herself. And he took it to his own eyes. Stabbed out his own eyes because he could not simply bear seeing the truth that was revealed to him. Actually, Oedipus didn't kill himself. He
survived?
He survived that. He survived with the maimed eyes. He just only stabbed his eyes out, and he lived his life out pretty much as an exile. Yeah, that is the story of Oedipus.
God. So, the first time Oedipus opened on Broadway was 1907, 100 and something years ago. So, it opened in 1907 as Oedipus Rex. The original play, it was so old, I can't find anything about how well-received it was. It was probably well-received because it was a Greek tragedy. It's been around for a while. But I couldn't find anything from, like, the New York Times or anything. But I did find the only revival for Oedipus up until this one was in 1984. And it was done entirely in Greek, which, that's pretty cool.
It's definitely a choice to stick
it's
with the
certainly a choice.
The native language, but I think it's one that worked towards their advantage.
Oedipus was played by Nikos Korkalos, and then this woman named Katerina Helmy was Jocaste, J-O-C-A-S-T-E, not Jocasta. And, yeah.
Definitely not familiar with this cast, but this
No, me neither. This was a very Greek cast for a very Greek show, and I'm pretty sure the people liked it. It says, there are many good reasons for being grateful to the Greek National Theater for its version of the Greek tragedy by Sophocles, which it will be performing through Sunday at the Lincoln Center's Vivian Beaumont Theater, where Ragtime is playing. But reservations are also prompted about whether this highly rhetorical play was the best choice to send to a country where Greek is not widely understood. Minos Valanikis, the director, has virtually choreographed the chorus, reversing its traditional static stance so that it now acts as a conduit for the story, not only in words, but also in theatrical exercises. Many in Tuesday's opening night audience, representing the elite of New York's Greek community, understood this modern Greek translation from the virtually unintelligible ancient Greek. This is interesting. This paragraph says, although some may be interested in seeing imaginative stagecraft from a country where theater was born, others, less venturesome and curious, may find Oedipus Rex something of a chore. That is what prompts the wish that this talented ensemble might have brought us something that might better vault barriers of vocabulary by appealing more to the eye than to the ear, to the heart than to the brain. So, that was the first revival. We'll get into the second one now.
The newest revival.
It's election night and a landslide victory is predicted. However, the tides are shifting and everything is about to change. What secrets will be revealed and who is strong enough to contend with their consequences? If I knew what you just told me when I wrote this down, my God.
I think it really is you know, the word tragedy could be thrown around a lot. This is truly a tragedy. Like,
yeah. Yeah, that's the blurb for the current revival that is playing on Broadway right now. This revival started previews on October 30th, and it opened on November 13th. And it's playing at Studio 54. The director, his name is Robert Icke.
Definitely less Greek this time around.
Oh, yeah, totally. I don't think this guy is Greek. But he's done a fair amount of shows in his time. His, like, specialty, for lack of a better word, is, like, rewriting these Greek tragedies and stories so, like, modern audiences can understand it. Let's see if we can find out why Robert Icke decided to do this revival. So I found an article from Vogue. Her name was Deborah Friedel. The idea came to him after the 2016 American presidential election when he wondered what Hillary Clinton was doing in her hotel suite on the night she lost to Donald Trump. Oedipus is played by a man named Mark Strong. Mark Strong is no stranger to West End theater. Pernell, I know you're going to listen to this. If you don't know who Mark Strong is already, just look him up, and I don't think you can look me in the eye and tell me that this man doesn't look terrifying.
He has a very stern face.
Yeah. His first West End performance was in Death of a Salesman. Says this was the start of his theater career, which also includes later West End performances in productions like A View from the Bridge and The Red Barn. He made his Broadway debut in 2015 as Eddie Carbone in A View from the Bridge. And yeah, and this will be his first time back on Broadway since doing that production. And this will actually be his first show, Oedipus, when he did this in 2024. This was his first show in 7 years. He was nominated for a Tony in 2016 for Best Actor in a Play. He was nominated. He did not win. He won the Olivier for Best Actor in A View from the Bridge. And then he also was nominated for a Drama Desk Award, which are pretty popular. And yeah. Now that is what Mark Strong has been up to. Jocasta is played by Leslie Manville. She made her professional stage debut in 1972 with I and Albert, which was a musical. Oh, homegirl can sing. This performance at Studio 54 is her Broadway debut. So yeah, that's Oedipus and Jocasta. Accolades. There was definitely no Tony recognition for this original production. Because I'm pretty sure Antoinette Perry, the lady the Tonys are named after, was still alive at this point. She died in 1946. The first Tony Awards were in 1947. So yeah, 40 years prior to the first Tonys was when Oedipus premiered on Broadway. So while the original production and like some of the other like productions didn't win any awards, the current revival that's on Broadway right now, it started in London. That actually won the Olivier Award, which is the Tonys of London. That won Best Revival of a Play in this past Olivier season, so in 2025. And then it also won the UK Critics Circle Theatre Award, where Robert Icke won Best Director, and then Mark Strong and Leslie Manville won Best Actor and Actress.
Yeah, so they were over mm-hmm. in London first, and they got pretty good recognition over there. It's promising.
It was really promising, yeah. So, yeah, and the Olivier Awards says this production won the award for Best Revival of a Play, and Leslie Manville won Best Actress for her role as Jocasta, and then Mark Strong was nominated, but he didn't win. We're going to look at the New York Times current review of the revival.
Get some help from God here.
This says Oedipus, New York Times critics pick. That's good. We didn't see that on anything else. What do we want from our candidates, and what will we forgive them? Adultery, corruption, fraud, convictions, sexual abuse accusations, bankruptcies, financial and moral. Americans have overlooked these and worse, given enough political clout and charm. But a candidate who kills his father and beds his mother, those may be delinquencies too far. So says these are also more or less the salient points of Oedipus, Sophocles' tragedy now revamped for Broadway.
They definitely draw the connections between modern times and, of course.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, at first I was like, why is it an election? But then I was like, oh yeah, he was king. Ike's change in timeline trades catastrophe for suspense, ontological disaster for down to the cuticles nail biting. Is this a fair exchange? Maybe. Is it electrifying? God, yes. The results are slick, sleek, mordant. It's a spine tingler, if not quite the ethics tangler of the original. In the prologue, a video reimagining of Oedipus' speech to the Thebans, Oedipus positions himself as a progressive candidate. His opponents have slandered him, he says, calling him an immigrant and an outsider. Early in the play, he says, I am me and I know who I am. By the end, he says, I don't know who I am. But he does, and that knowledge is unbearable. Strong conveys this torment in voice and posture, the veins on his neck bulging. Ike has the king tell Jocasta, his mother-wife, I have eyes only for you.
That's definitely a change up from the original version.
That's gross.
I know one of the themes throughout the play, and they probably do this for the revival too, is referring to the eyes, referring to seeing, sort of bringing that up constantly, because it just hits home even more when that revelation drops.
Ike's script, like Sophocles's nearly 25 centuries ago, pummels breathlessly towards its climax, unfolding in real time with its dramatic ironies inescapable. As Jocasta moves from ignorance toward knowledge, fighting every new fact, Manville dismantles this woman's carefully constructed identity, thread by thread, cell by cell.
Wow.
The questions of what does Jocasta know and when does she know it become the night's true horror. Her Jocasta is chic, charming, and ambitious for her husband, an impeccable political wife. This is good.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I think
this is good. This is probably the best review from the New York Times we've read.
It's the kind of reviews that...
I feel like this kind of changes everything. All right, so as you know, I teased this episode in the last one because I wanted to talk about these plays together. If we're being so freaking honest, Jamie Lloyd has really been on a roll these last few years, as you know. Sunset Boulevard won Best Musical Revival last year. Evita was very well received in the West End, and there are rumors of it coming up to Broadway. And yeah, so his shows have been very successful, and Robert Icke has also been successful, but Oedipus itself isn't as, I mean, it's definitely recognized, but it's not necessarily as renowned. Are you picking up what I'm putting down?
I am, yeah.
Yeah?
Due to its, you know, the timeliness of both the original thing, which was, you know, way back when, and its first revival, which was, you know, 40-some-odd years before the Tonys.
So. Yeah, 40 years ago, exactly, before the Tonys were a thing.
So that definitely, yeah, makes sense. It gets its recognition, but in terms of, it like, a track record of awards, it's definitely lacking a bit there.
And while this New York Times review was stellar, amazing. That's probably the best review from the New York Times I've ever read.
Definitely.
There's still not much to work with. I don't really know how well people liked Sunset Boulevard in the New York Times, but they won Best Musical Revival. There really isn't much to work with, especially like now, because the revival just opened, and even though it was stellar, that review from our good friend at the New York Times, Alexis Solosky, there still really isn't much to work with on past success. Yeah, Sophocles was a cool dude, and he made a cool play, and it was really cool in Greece. We don't really know much about it here.
Do you think that this revival's success across the pond in London is any indicator?
Oh, 100%.
Potential success?
Definitely. Oedipus opened. Previews were October 30th. It opened on November 13th. It's closing in February.
3-month window.
Yeah. Which is normal for like a play. I definitely think its West End success will be a big tell in how it's going to do, especially because it did so well. But before I learned all of this and actually did the research, I was pretty set that Waiting for Godot had a better chance at winning. And I think I'm still going to stand by that, only because it is more known. Yeah, it's about nothing, but people know it a little more than they do Oedipus? They've heard the name, but what do they know about it? I'd heard of Oedipus, but I didn't know he had sex with his mother. But yeah. So
I don't know. I'm a bit torn about it, which one might get more success, waiting for God.
I know, that's why I'm still like really stuck. But I'm gonna lock it in. I'm gonna say Waiting for Godot has the better chance at winning Best Player Revival.
I think I'll take the other side of this.
Okay.
Argument. I'm gonna go with Oedipus.
Yeah.
Just based off what I heard from the New York Times and from his success over in London, I'm convinced.
Yeah.
As much as I love my boy Keanu,
over
Waiting for Godot, and I hope they have the best success, but I'm gonna go with Oedipus on this one.
So, yeah, just to recap, out of Chess and Ragtime, I think Ragtime will win Best Musical Revival. What about you? What do you think? We never really spoke about what you thought on that.
I will agree with you on that one.
Really?
I'm going to go with Ragtime.
Mm-hmm. And then for our plays, we were torn. I'm going to take Waiting for Godot, and he's going to take Oedipus.
They're both pretty solid revivals.
Very solid shows.
Good reviews. Can't go wrong with either one, but I might be a little biased towards Oedipus since I've read it in the past.
And I might be biased towards Godot because
I just
adore Jamie Lloyd. All right, well, thanks for hanging out with us.
Thank
this was
listening.
So much fun. And, yeah, this was Broadway Reimagined.